Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Monday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Eliza Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. It's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, we'll pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, we do our best, and the Lord Jesus answers for you. If you're having comments, we ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, we thank God for all of you at this 7:01 hour Central Standard Time here in America. And this is Monday night. For those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know what that means. The angel messenger, our brother, Brother Eddie Lee, who heads this off. And as we await for our brother to come on, I just want to thank the Lord for all of you that are listening in United Kingdom and Uganda, in Japan, and all over the world, far and near. All glory and honor and praise go to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you, sister. How you doing?
God bless.
Amen. So it's definitely a blessed day in the Lord. We thank God for all of you that are tuning into the broadcast, and we thank God for this opportunity that he's given us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to you one and all. Amen. Today, I just want to give this word to all of you that's listening. Prepare. Prepare. Prepare spiritually and prepare naturally. Prepare.
Amen.
The Lord wants us to prepare spiritually. There are things that are going to come that we're going to have to be prepared spiritually in the faith with Christ to withstand, to come through.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that are going to come upon this earth that even
Amen.
God wants us to prepare naturally. As you guys can see, food prices have spiked. Even, you know, especially when it went up during the COVID, and they have not returned back down to normal, people. It's still up there. And here's the honest truth. You're not going to be able to compete with those prices. But God does give us wisdom. And he tells us about the fruit of the ground and tilling the soil and people prepare. Prepare. If you got land that you can make a garden, make a garden. Save up food. There are other Christian organizations that are selling, you know, emergency food kits as well. You can invest in that. And listen, if we make an effort, even if it's small, God will bless you along the way. It takes a start, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of you that's listening, I know some of you are quick to say that's not faith. You know, you're quick to say that's not faith. Faith is putting action to what you believe. And so when you hear the word of God and you put action to the word of God, you know, that's the exercise in the faith. The word of God is, there's the written word of God, and then there's the prophetic word of God, and so there's the audible voice of God. So wherever way the word of God comes, when you move upon it without going by your feelings or your thoughts, then you operate in the God faith in that. And see, some of us fail to understand that throughout history, if you go early in the Bible, the time of Joseph and them, there have been things that hit this earth. You know, God had warned Pharaoh and gave him a dream about there will be 7 years of plenty, and then there will be 7 years of lack, okay?
Yes,
now, God had used Joseph to interpret the dream, but he also mm-hmm. gave them wisdom during the 7 years of plenty on to save the food, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. Please, people, please hear this. Don't think because you are a Christian, you don't have to save.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that. Because yeah. if Noah would have thought, hey, I'm talking with God, I'm walking with God, why would I need to build an ark? Okay, mm-hmm. I'm good with God. Noah would have got caught up in that flood like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So he
Amen.
Had to heed the instructions of the Lord. And he had
Amen.
To build the ark exactly the way God said it. Because
Amen.
God does not waste space when he gives us specific instructions. It is God does not speak in vain. When he tells you to do something, even when you're building or saving, since we're talking about saving, whatever God tells you to say, there are times that God will speak to us and it doesn't register with us right then. In other words, we'd be wondering, why would I have to do that? Or why would I need to save that? But if you just obey, the revelation will come and you will see the wisdom of God. So,
yeah.
people, I'm telling you, and please hear this, it is about survival, okay? It's not about your taste buds, okay? You know, you got people, you know, it's all about the taste buds. You got people that don't want to save nothing. They're throwing food away by the pounds, okay?
Mm.
You know, they will cook 3 days worth of food and just eat off of it one day, and they throwing the rest in the garbage can. And we started asking God, said, God, I need some money to get more food. Well, you wasting what you got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do we expect God to keep entrusting to us when we wasting what he has blessed us with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to look at that, people. Because if God's blessing you, and especially with food, and you're wasting it, how is you saying, well, Lord, I need more because I don't have enough? You're wasting what he has blessed you with.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, the way things are going, people, you're going to be glad, okay? You're going to be glad to have that food for a second day. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to be glad to have it because it's by survival. And now that these prices have gone up, and I don't know if some of y'all realize this, but there are certain organizations out there, they're trying to get rid of meat completely, but not completely to the point that the rich folks won't get it, because they're trying to set it up that it's going to get to a point where they want to only the rich folks will be able to get the meat. So they're going to go with everybody with vegetation, but they're going to lay claim to the killing of the cows and all that. It's going to mess with the earth system and all that. But they're working on that at least the rich people will get the meat, okay? And y'all, I'm telling you, there's things happening that you wouldn't believe. And some of you don't understand why God is telling people, say, save, till the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you are looking, some of you are Christians, okay?
Yeah.
You're looking at other Christians and you shaking your head and you saying, man, they just don't believe. They're not in the faith. They just don't believe. Actually, it is you that don't believe. Okay.
Amen.
It's not that they're heeding the instruction of the Lord. Look to the Bible. Okay. Look in the Bible alone and look at times where there were droughts and famines. Okay. We're still on this earth, people. And God has spoken to his people wisdom. And he's telling them, he's saying, save. He's saying, till the ground. He said, raise your fruit and your crops from the ground. And he's telling us that. And plus, God has blessed some of you guys to have large land. And I'm going to tell you why for this. Because God wants to use you to even help others. Okay, help others. I want y'all to hear this, because God had dealt with me about this back in 2016. Because sometimes we get so selfish in our thinking We just think about ourselves or just our family. Now, there's nothing wrong with thinking about your family. But God is wanting to use his people to go broader, okay, to go broader. When you ask God for $1,000 and he gave you $2,000, why won't you ask him what's the extra money for and what you want me to do with it?
Amen.
See, right. we have to think bigger than just ourselves, okay? We have to think, Lord, who else can I help? And I'm telling you, God is blessing some of his people with a lot of land, and he ain't just blessing them with a lot of land just so they could just, you know, say, I got a lot of land. Because you're gonna be in a position that God will use you in growing crops where you're going to have to help some people. You're gonna have to help some people. Because some people are going to realize that, okay, man, what the Lord was saying, man, this thing, it's good. And they're going to need help, okay? They're going to need help. So this thing, people, is bigger than what we think. But I'm encouraging you all, if you got, you know, you got the land, make you a garden, okay? I'm telling you, make you a garden, save up some water, you know, do this thing. Like I said, we thank God for the Christian organizations like, for example, Jim Baker. You know, they sell what they call emergency food kits. And I know you got the Patriots. They're another organization. And then I know about, I think, one or two more. And I'm telling you, people, God will bless you if you make an effort, okay? If you make an effort, God will open up the door to where you will be able to do what he has commanded you to do, okay?
Amen.
He does not give us a command and not make a way for us to do it, okay?
Amen.
He don't do that. He always opened up the way. So I'm telling you right now, and I pray that Yahweh hear this message, hear this word, prepare spiritually and prepare naturally. Mm-hmm. God is looking for us to be balanced. Do y'all not see these storms and how it has affected cities? Okay. You got big city, and some of you guys, you're running to big cities and you think that's the happening space. And you're downing these little countries and towns. But I'm here to tell y'all this, and you can hear this right here from Brother Nate. Some of you going to be running back to these little small towns because the cities are going to get hit with so much confusion, okay? It's going to be so much confusion that's going to hit these cities. See, some of y'all think, I'm in the place right now. This is a good place. Oh, I don't want to go to that old little old town, and y'all just be downing. Y'all just be downing. People don't realize in this county right here, Holmes County, and in this town, Durant, God is going to do something mighty and great. And what God does, he shows people his hand, but what he does, he let them talk first. He let them talk first. He will let people talk. He will let people talk at you and about you. And then when he said, okay, now it's time, and he will show people his hand in your life.
Yeah.
And he's going to show people his hand here in Durant, Mississippi, and in Holmes County. So right now, there's a lot of people doing the talking. Oh, I wouldn't go to that place. Man, they too little. They ain't got nothing. You got folks leaving here and talking about, ain't nothing here. I'm going somewhere else. But I'm telling you, many of these people who run into these big cities, you're going to be running back to these small towns. You're going to be running back. I know you don't believe it. You just hold on, because in these big cities, the governors and the heads of these cities ain't telling y'all the whole story. You're starting to notice little things, little shortage in this, little shortage in that. Do you know how much chaos would it be if you had a food shortage in a major city? Do you know how much chaos that would be? Do you know how much chaos that would be when you have a water shortage in a major city? You're talking about people panicking. You got a big city, and you're talking about robbing and looting and everything. You know, It's going to be something. I'm not telling you guys this message to scare anybody. This is just a message of warning. And I'm telling you, prepare. For you that are Christians that listen, prepare spiritually, prepare naturally. Because there are things that are going to come that we're going to have to be prepared in the Lord in both areas to survive what is coming, okay? To survive what is coming. And some of y'all just want to run out to eat all the time. Well, the way these prices are going, you're starting to see that's changing, okay? You're starting to see that you can't run out to these places like you was and eating as often as you was. Because the prices are going up, okay? You finna see more of these restaurants. They are finna close down, okay? Mm-hmm. You already seeing some already in the past couple of years, they've been shutting the doors. Why? Yeah. Because they're not getting the people. The food is too high, okay? Yeah. People are starting to stay at home and eat, people, okay? Mm-hmm. That's going to hurt these restaurants even the more. So I pray that you hear this warning and hear this word, prepare spiritually and prepare naturally. God bless you, brother. Mm-hmm. God bless you, Sister Anderson. How y'all doing today?
Blessed of the eight. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Lee.
Oh, God bless y'all. I was just waiting on Sister Anderson.
Okay, she spoke already.
Oh, your owner. Oh, she must have owned a radio station. Whoa. Oh, well.
It's time.
Well, get started, sister. Get started. We'll wait on you. What's the first thing? I was looking at some history back here. How do you think that, say, the Apostle Paul and or either Apostle Peter or John, if they were in this day that we're living in, how do you think they would be taking leaps and bounds about the opportunity we have in our technology age?
A lot of confusion now.
Well, no, God looks and he views his plans and his purposes. And I'm thinking, like, if opportunity present Apostle Paul the day that we have, what would he, how do you think he would be using this particular age and technology that we have now?
Well, thank God. And I would say that, you know, being, I'm going to say, prayed up, fasted up, and knowing, you know, what's going on in the Word, because the Lord tell us what's going on in the Word, that he would be on it. He would be using all of this technology some kind of way. He would be using all of the means to get the gospel out.
Wow. What do you think, from the beginning of the church age, the day we're living into now, John the beloved apostle has been working in the works of God and the gospel since the end of the beginning of the church age 2,000 years ago. So 2,000 years, John has been declaring the gospel. What form do you think he's using now, since he has started with Jesus 2,000 years ago, and he's still working the work 2,000 years ago, and he has passed through all of these events and times and changes? What form do you think that John would be is using to declare the gospel now?
Well, he walked from city to city to declare the gospel then, and now I think he would still be walking from city to city to declare God's word. He would be on the broadcast to get that word out there, radio, television, whatever means, because he was doing it back then and that day. I think he would be still doing it and taking it in every possible way he can to get it out, especially after how the Lord revealed it unto him.
Wow. What's the difference in culture and how people, the different cultures of people, how they embrace the gospel and how they work? For instance, the women, have you ever met the African women? What's their major difference how they would use the gospel and how do we view marriage?
How they use the gospel and view marriage?
Well, how do they view marriage? How do they view the gospel? How are they different from the women in the West?
Well, I think the way they are different from these, I must say, the women here in the United States, and see, they believe in the marriage. When they get into a marriage, they believe in the marriage. Even when the men leave, they still lay claim on the marriage. So I talked to one of the sisters, and she had lost a child. But when you would ask her how many children does she have, she counted the one that was gone on. And they don't view marriage like the people here in the United States, because the people here, they're jumping in and jumping out from man to man, most of them, a lot of them, I should say. And no, they do not view it the same as the people here.
Well, why do you think that, for example, that the culture in, quote, in the African country, two things you don't, what's the difference? How they view abortion and how they view what we call homosexual, transsexual, the people in, say, why do they view China? View the abortion thing or the homosexual thing different than we see it in America?
It is that culture. They don't believe in that. They don't do that. Africa, China, they do not believe in homosexuality and abortion. And it's the culture that they are born in and raised in. They don't view it. They don't believe it.
I tell you one thing, brother. I tell you one person that really could answer that for you too is Barack Obama.
Oh, Mr. Barack Obama.
Yes. Remember he went to try to make that move over there to one of those African nations, and they told him straight out, that's not happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What was that he was trying to promote? What was Mr. Obama trying to promote?
He was trying to promote the homosexual agenda, trying to get them to accept it. And, you know, they actually had passed, I think the law still today. I know at one point that if you knew someone that was practicing it or something like that, I mean, they had a serious penalty for it. I forgot what the penalty was, but they didn't play that over there.
They don't play that.
Well, they don't play what?
They don't approve of same sex marriage. I was reading on the phone, I think about a couple of months ago, that over in Africa, they had passed a law, against homosexuals, you know. And so they really strict on that. Really strict on that now.
How informed are we in America about the other people in other nations, how they think, what their culture, what their opinion about the Bible and about the Christians? What do you think the average person in the, say, social nation, what do you think their opinion is about America and its Christian saying?
I'm going to say this. Americans really don't know. We don't try to learn a lot about other cultures and their religion. And they do. The other cultures, Africa and different cultures, they do try to find out not just Africa, but other countries. I mean, they try to find out all they can about America. I remember that I worked years and years ago when I lived in Chicago. I worked with some Filipinos, and they talk all the time. They had to learn. They had to study and find out. They read to find out about the U. They was here already in the United States, but they wanted to find out things about the United States. Americans don't go to that extent to try to find a thing about other nations and their culture.
Oh. Interviewer work around other culture and other people from other nations and nationalities. Interview work, interview went to school or associate in any other people of other nations and other culture. Have you been around them or learned anything about them in this nation? Have you associated with them, been around with them, in school with them? Are your children closer with cultures and other nations?
There's lots of Mexican peoples. I work with Mexicans, and I know one thing about them. They are very, dedicated to each other. They're very close to each other, and they will help each other. And they will take, and if one have a home and some coming from another country, what they would do, they would move those peoples in the house with them until they get on their feet, and then they'll go out and do for themselves. And so I learned a whole lot from them, how they will help each other. They will take their land and give it to each other.
Oh, they were more united and helpful to one another, huh?
Mm-hmm. They are.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How do they view family relationship, like marriage and children?
They're very serious about about their families. They take a lot of pride in their families, in their marriages. I just being around them, how close they, very close they are.
Well, what is the difference that you've been around? Anybody, how many different nations have you interviewed or been around and associated with? In different nationalities, have any of y'all been associated with?
I'm just Mexican people Choctaw Indians. They live here in Mississippi. I used to work with one young lady. That was years ago, I learned this about the Indians, the Mexican, and the black people. They are so close. They are so close, you know, like connected. Their living conditions are the same, you know, and they have like the same nature, you know, in the way they, you know, the way they live and the way they eat and the way they dress. And I know like the Mexican people, they like to dress real fine, and they like their gold and the earrings and the jewelry. And so the black people, they you know, they like to dress, you know, and they like the jewelry, they like the gold, they like all of that. And you know, the Indians, you know, I just kind of like, you know, study them, you know, because, you know, because they live around in our era, and I know I can pick out, you know, their homes. I said, that's the Indians live there, the Mexicans live here, the black people live there, and because all of them is, they just so connected, you know, I noticed that about
them. Mm-hmm.
Mhm.
Oh, okay.
Mhm. What do you learn from each culture that could have benefit you, or learn from each culture that would be not work well in America? Each of these cultures have a different contributions to the world that's outstanding, and you notice something that's outstanding in there, thinking about children, family, government, business, job, achievement. So why do you think that a lot of people from, say, Africa today, because you had four sections of Africa, north, east, west, mm-hmm. and south, they're different. But
yeah.
when they come, why do you think that a lot of these people are very, very anxious to come to America, and is some of their goal is to get to America or the West? And when they get here to the West, how do they take advantage of the opportunities more than the people that were born here, say, the African-American and born here in America? And what's the difference between those, say, quote, the Africans that's born in Africa and come here? What's the difference in their desire to achieve and to obtain? What's the difference between the born?
I found out that I've kind of been talking to different people, well, really from Africa. And I also know that, you know, their culture is different from the different sections of whatever you, north, east, west, south, whatever. Their culture is different. And one thing that I've noticed, that things that they go through to get an education, and some of the parents actually, I guess I'll use the words, be behind them and pushing them, and they leave home. A lot of them leave home at a very early age when they are young, and they go to places like Paris, some of them go to Paris, England, and different places to get their education. And they are very educated when they come here. A lot of them, they are very educated.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that they really, push for, to get an education. And also, I had asked somebody about the culture because of, I probably can't pronounce his name, but the brother that's in Africa, and he's on Facebook a lot, and I've had asked the question, because they are always, it's like their dress is always so colorful. And I wanted to know, you know, like they are from the Congo. And I was told that, well, really I was told that they're from the Congo and that that is their style to be, well, they use the word flashy. And they're different from people like that's in Kenya, Africa. Their dress is different. They all goes off of that education, though. They pushes them to get educated. And people that's here in the United States, and I'm going to, my kids are grown and they're gone, but I don't think, you know, we really, a lot of us don't get behind our children and push our children for as an education is concerned.
Yeah.
Oh. Why do you think now in urban society, in the cities of the United States, that certain groups of people in the United States don't seem to be very encouraging or don't be deeply concerned about preparing their children in life with education and skill and developing? Why certain groups in America, their children or our children seem to be a lackadaisy about the preparation of education and development of their skills to achieve? Why do you think that's a lack here in America, groups, certain groups of people in urban America?
Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, they encourage their children because they will tell them they don't want them to be like they were, whatever. They want them to have education. They want them to have a good job, and they don't want them to be like they was. But then there are up certain groups that really get behind their children and really encourage. And you know, a lot of time that people do all that they can, and then a lot of times people are just doing all that they know to do. They don't know anything else to do. So they just doing what they know. And they aren't, it's important to have somebody in your life that if you're doing all that you know to do, but it's really not enough to have somebody else that's there to help and to encourage.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Can you distinguish clearly the people that arrive in our modern-day society from the other nations, say, when the Chinese or the Japanese come, Filipinos, Africans? What is their drive and their motivation, these people, that's different from the people say here in America, certain groups? What's the difference in their drive and their goal and the desire for their children more so than, say, a group of colored Americans already here? What's the difference in their desire and drive and push for their children?
I think it's the motivation that's in the parents that, you know, because I know some, I used to work in, when I lived in Chicago, I used to work with some people, quite a few that was from the Philippines. And some of them, they were telling me how they had, they grew up with AIDS in their house, but they had that drive in to get to the United States. A lot of them have that outlook, the United States, that anything you can do and get anything that you want in the United States.
Yeah.
Well, when we address these people concerning the gospel and spiritual things, as coming from an American culture, and as us as American Christian addressing the spiritual things to these people different cultures. They have different views and different cultures. So if we don't learn some things about them, a lot of time we make a lot of mistakes in how we approach them. Now, the more you learn about a person and their culture, it is helpful to you in winning them to certain things. Now, the Holy Spirit, I know, guides us and directs us, but it's a benefit for us to learn about their language and culture. Do you know that most of the cultures in their country, they have commissioned, they have to learn English, right? Most of the cultures in the world today, most of them have to learn English or French or Spanish. Mm-hmm. Now, the world language where they can internationally speak with all nations. So they have to must learn some form of English. Now, in America, in certain groups of people in America, do they have the same drive to teach their children to learn the language or culture or their tribe of a nation? Do we know anything? Say, we are Black Americans. Say, you and I are what we call Black American colored people or people from Africa, and we have some been brought here and raised here, and we assimilate into this culture to a lot of degree, but a lot of groups don't learn other language. And we go to school, our primary and secondary school, I think they're kind of saying, you know, they're teaching other language. And high school now, I think it's almost that you have to, you know, learn another language. Mm-hmm. But at speaking the language, is it helpful you to learning something about their language and their culture, is to bring in the gospel to them? Is that helpful? Does that make it easier?
I think
a door
helpful.
Open?
Yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. To know something about their culture and their language, I think is helpful. I would say it's like, you know, we look, okay, I had discussed this with someone just recently, like, for instance, when we're watching TV and we see the children from Africa, different parts of Africa, and they are starving, they're sick, there are flies flying around them, I was asking about that, and they told me, when people come over there and film that stuff, they film the worst of the worst. You know, and to know something about, you know, them, I think it would be helpful in witnessing to them, trying to get them to understand and receive the salvation of the Lord, is to know something about them, because they could have all kinds of problems. They could have medical problems. They could be sick, different things going on in their lives that they don't want to hear what you have to say. They would rather hear you come to them with some type of helpful information as to what they are going through. If hungry, they might listen to why they're eating if they're hungry. Or if you and they are sick, it's just like when I on my job that I was on, I would tell the people come in there with these nasty attitudes, and one lady told me, she said, "Did you hear what she said?" And my reaction was, "I don't know what happened in her life or what she went through before she came in here." Situations, so try to learn about that culture and what's going on, you know, in their lives, then they don't want to understand what we have to say to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. None of you all, do any of you know the importance of learning how to other nations and other people and other groups, how that we express ourselves, the lack of understanding about their cultural language or their problems, that if people want to be one, easier to be one to you when you reach out to them to help them to understand their culture and their language. And mm-hmm. that helps you to remove a barrier to reaching out to them. Like, if you find out that you're interested in them and their culture and their language, or you know mm-hmm. something about them. I noticed that when I'm around some of the area, I learned and going out and associated with some of the people called Arab people, that when I would speak to them in their language, a few greetings and things, that that would put a smile and open on their faces, and it's an open door. Then I take mm-hmm. time to learn a few of their culture and their language, because that puts down and casts down a barrier and makes it easier to speak to them. Mm-hmm. when you're around people and you're interested in them and their language, their culture, their problems, their heritage, it makes an opportunity to talk to them and communicate with them, and they'll see that, and they're more likely that you can help them in other area. But you can't. What do you think? You think it's more important that you show them that you love them more than, because they have, see, when you go to other nations, they have present needs. You understand? Mm-hmm. They have earthly present needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are hurting. They're mm-hmm. wounded, sick, and oppressed, homeless, helpless.
Mm-hmm.
So those things are utmost on their mind. So when you tell them about heaven, they want to know what you're going to do for them on the earth.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So we sometimes forget, even though heaven is the most important message, their present need.
Mm-hmm.
How can you reveal heaven's love for their present condition and need? You know, when Jesus told them was hungry, I was looking at the show the other day, and Jesus was ministering to these people, 4,000, and time for them to go back to their places. They had come many miles. And Jesus said, they're hungry, they're faint on the way, going back, because they come a long way. And Jesus said, mm-hmm. okay, give them something to eat, feed them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we may not think that the natural part of revealing God's love is important when we preach in the gospel, but it's more important for us to reveal the gospel as the same as to preach the gospel, to show them mm-hmm. that the gospel is concerned about their hurt, pain, their hunger, their lack of education. Now, there were, when I went to Africa missionary, there was many people come to me, had many problems, and so they wanted help in each area. And next, one of the things was education. Can you help me get in this school or this education? The women in Africa, I met a lot of, they want to know, how could I help them, because they were more business-minded and they're more concerned about achievement in business. We mm-hmm. teach our kids, maybe the women in Africa are very strong and very, very strong women, better children, mm-hmm. and they're concerned about their family, their children, and the education and their achievement mm-hmm. as a people. Now, we have great opportunities being in America. Do you think that, for instance, we being American people of color, you think that we are not understanding the opportunity and taking advantage of it or teaching our children? You think that we are lacking, more lacking, say, the Filipinos, say, that the Africans or the Russians? Do you think we lack? And why those things are important when they come to this country? What's the difference between the attitude about achievement when these other people that you talk to, what's the difference between them and our children and certain groups? What's the difference?
Well, we here in America, I don't think we really appreciate all that, you know, that we can take advantage of here. And mm-hmm. a lot of people from the Philippines, from Mexico, from Africa. It's not just those places, but at other places, that they want to come to the United States, because if they don't know, they have heard of the different opportunities that they can, you know, get when they get here. And they are readily and open to those opportunities. We here in the United States, we have all these opportunities that's open for us and sometimes presented to us, and we still don't take advantage of them. They do, and they appreciate it when they do. And a lot of them will run over you to get them.
Amen.
I would suggest to everyone, especially in America, and especially among all people, is to learn something about the many, many different people that you're addressing the gospel to or want to, because the most important to them at first is their present needs. And that, see, if you're hungry, you're not concerned about heaven. They're more concerned about their children crying in the night, having no food, or the mother don't have enough milk, or they don't have any food or any water. Now, you can tell them about heaven, but the reality is we're more concerned about heaven understanding our needs, right?
Right.
We forget that. How can we present the gospel like Jesus did? He saw people's needs, and he used it as an opportunity to reveal the Father's concern about their pain or their life. Now, say the Russian Christians, do anybody know what's the difference between being around any Russian Christians, Armenians, or Italian Christians, or Australian? Have you been about any other people? Because people tend to go to certain groups that were willing to accept him. We find out that the teams are more acceptable and more hospitable, certain groups, so we go to those people who receive us. Because there's a major divide in the world. It's called the racial divide. The greatest hindrance is economical and race in reaching people with the gospel, where it crosses all lines, no matter what race you are. But it is more difficult because races have their own thinking about each other. What are one of the greatest barriers and difficulty we have in America, even though America is the most blessed country? And you know, what are the three barriers that we battle today in America?
Given. Being free to give. That's a battle Americans have, because I find that here in America, if you have something, you're going to do everything you can do to hold on to what you got. You want, share, give. Like the sister was talking about the Mexicans. I remember when we lived in Chicago, that was and they are hard workers too. They're hard workers, and where they would it would be 12 to 15 of them up in one house, and they would work and buy a house, and they would somebody would move in it, and they would get together and work and buy somebody else until everybody have a house. Those Arabs are the same way. They are together. What they mean, they are together.
Amen.
I was noticing when I go to Chinatown that the Jehovah Witnesses have means to reach people on the ground level. And I was with them in Chinatown today that they had that stand set up, and there were some Chinese saying being Jehovah Witnesses. And they had that stand on the street. American Jehovah's Witness had that stand in the Chinese area. Now, do any of you with the Chinese, the Japanese, Vietnamese. I've been around them, addressed them. How do they view Christian? Are you concerned? I know you just think the gospel is just going to America over here on 47 or 30 of your street, but the Lord is interested in all people. So we limit ourselves. And so opportunity presents itself to reach all nations. You know, the gospel is to go to all nations in every place. But we limit ourselves in preparation to try to reach people, to touch people, to make them open to us being friends with them. What is the greatest two barriers we have in America? What is the two? Are the other two sisters on the line, or we just use this sentence?
I'm on the line.
Sister Stella on the line.
On the line.
Yeah, okay.
Stella on the line.
Do you come together and you want to reach certain people and cultures? Like, I was kind of surprised to see how the Jehovah Witnesses are moving in the Chinese area, down Chinatown, and how they're getting their message over to the Chinese. I saw two Jehovah Witnesses, and I noticed it right away because the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're very distinct people. They dress different. They dress more moderate. Why do you think the Jehovah's Witnesses, they dress more moderate than most other people?
Because they take a lot of pride in what they do, and they want, when they go out, they want to present themselves, you know, like a representative, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they don't want to go out, you know, looking any kind of way, but they want to, you know, dress, you know, that the people, you know, can accept them.
Why do you think that when you see the Jehovah's Witnesses, the difference, how they present themselves? Why do they think they dress so less? They don't dress more provocative like the average American do? Why do you think they don't be more provocative, more revealing, even in their dress? Why do you think they don't?
They call themselves witnesses, and they don't go out. They really set their dress, sets them aside. You can distinguish them. They're not flashy. And also, they are, you know, I'm going to say, like, they at the level where they can speak to a person. You know, you find some people that say that they're saved, and they are really too high up there to come down to your level or present the word to you. And another thing came to mind where the word said preach and teach the same thing. They really represent that. I noticed over the years that they are coming out of some of the old stuff, like, you know, you have to be a chosen one. If you're not chosen, I had one to tell me that if you're not one of the chosen ones, you don't even accept the Lord's Supper. But one thing they do, they set themselves apart. And they all, they dress alike. I mean, when you see them on the street witnessing, they're all wearing that black and white.
Well, there's things we can learn in presenting the gospel, things that hinder us of being American. America, that dress style, what do you say about the dress style, just the dress style of Americans in particular, that's different from a lot of other nations?
Well,
you got under a minute there, brother.
Okay. Well, let me end this.
Okay.
I'm around many nations and groups, Greeks, and I try to be friendly with all of these groups, but I know there's barriers that I have to pray as a Christian and trying to present the gospel around Greek people, Chinese people. I make it a point to learn something, how I can present ultimate Christ to them, but I got to show myself friendly and open to their culture to break down barriers. We could do much more, as mm-hmm. believers. When we want all nations to come to the kingdom of God, with much more we can prepare, can understand, that make it easier and better for us to reach people. I think it's very important that you educate ourselves more. The gospel is the power of God, but yet there is other things that do hinder. And there's other things that make it better and more important and easier to reach people, to be concerned yeah. about their needs, their culture, and their problems. Well, we love you, people around the world. This is the Church of Christ Elijah message going off, that we're concerned about every culture, every need, every person, and that we love you and we're concerned about your needs, especially your earthly yeah. needs and your heavenly journey. This is Brother Lee.
Amen.
Leaving, and may the Lord bless you. Read your Bible and pray, for Jesus is coming.
Amen. Can we keep
Amen.
Can we please keep Sister Amen. Karen Parker in
Sister who now?
Karen Parker.
Parker, okay.
Oh, Sharon Parker, okay.
Brother Amen.
You said pray for her. You said pray for
she
her.
Said, pretty bad fall, Sister Sharon Parker.
Okay, okay.
Okay.
Okay, you have to go. I don't understand what you're saying.
Amen. Sister Sharon Parker, James Parker, wife, she said that she had a pretty bad fall, and she
oh,
wanted us to keep her up in prayer.
Okay.
What about Karen Wilkinson and Karen Secret?
Yes, all of them.
Okay.
She's up and about now. Yes, so we are praying for them all. I'm in touch with them, praying for them all. Keep all of them in prayer.
All right.
Okay.
Amen. We thank God for all of you listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.